and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bound. This week we're unleashing Monocle's sister magazine, The Escapist, upon the world. This annual publication is a journal of places less explored and a celebration of sunshine. This year's issue takes the reader from the beach clubs of southwest Turkey to tiny towns in Western Australia via mountainside Austrian villages, Japanese hotels and Canada's Gulf Islands, among many other destinations. The Escapist took me to Benidorm, the Spanish capital of Brits Abroad, that's now seeking UNESCO World Heritage status. Is it worth it? Well, stay tuned to find out. And on the show today, I'll be speaking to some of the staff behind the visuals of the mag, Monocle's creative director, Richard Spencer Powell, and photography director, Matthew Beeman, and the photographer, Thomas Pryor, who I went carousing with in Benidorm. Plus, we'll nip into Bucharest to visit a new art gallery that's adding to the Romanian capital's growing art scene. That's all coming up on Culture. Do stay tuned. First of all, then, let's have a look at The Escapist's flashy, splashy, kind of sexy fluoro cover. Can you judge a magazine by its cover? We hope so, because inside we've got skin and smiles and sunsets and sand and surf. The man with the master plan is our creative director, Richard Spencer Powell, and he's joined by the man who sees the world through a Zeiss lens, photo director Matt Beeman. Richard Spencer Powell, Matthew Beeman, thank you very much for joining me down in the freezing Studio 2. It's we were shirt sleeve order upstairs, and now we're kind of putting on fleeces and cashmere scarves, which is not very escapist, which is not very summer, but that is what we're here to discuss. The Escapist is just plonked onto our desks, and this is a beautiful, beautiful piece of kit. Rich, what do we call the colour of the cover? Because it is none more summery and poppy, this pink.
The boss always calls it hot orange. I always think it looks like the sort of fluorescent you get on slightly faded swim trunks that you can only ever see in the most sort of iridescent beach environment in Italy. And I think with the summer issue, that's what you want to do. You want to go straight to the fluoro section of the Pantone book and hit it.
This is going to look great on newsstands because it pops so beautifully against all those other imposters that sit next to Monocle on newsstand, right? I mean, it looks like a proper whack of summer. It looks also a little bit like when you have a 99 flake and you have the strawberry sauce on it, right? It's got a bit of that going on.
Yeah, it's a bit sort of super artificial, which is amazing. And I think on newsstand, it really will pop, as you say. It's got a collection of sort of summary postcard images. It's a smaller trim size to Monocle, so it's a little bit more portable, I think. Yeah. It's printed on book papers, so the whole thing feels a little bit more summer, paperback, chuck it in your bag and head off to the lounger.
So let's talk about the kind of the overarching idea, the atmosphere of it. We're going to talk about a couple of the specific stories with you guys. Matt, from a photo point of view, what are you looking for when you commission photographers for The Escapist? As I say, it's kind of the essence of summer, it's travel, it's loungy, if not a little bit louche. Maybe that's just some of the assignments that we go on. What are you looking for in terms of photography?
We're looking for people who can really capture that kind of essence of summer, and we're looking for upbeat, smiling, happy people enjoying their holidays mostly.
And in terms of things like the light, just the images on the cover here, you know, there's this beautiful old wooden sailing ship on the front there. This kind of is the essence of it. There's some nice shadows. There's obviously a bit of med in there, which helps matters along, and a bit of skin and all the rest of it. This says summer. When photographs come back to your desk, are you kind of picking them off, or are you giving them quite specific references, your photographers?
We do give specific references, and we try to shoot everything at that kind of magic hour of the hour before sunset to get that kind of those long shadows and that dusky kind of summer evening feeling.
Yeah,
it's not always possible, but in the edit we tend to kind of choose that early morning or late evening time of day.
This is something particular about the quality of the light, because it's one of those funny things, having worked with Thomas Pryor, fantastic photographer who edited the Benidorm story, which is the expo story at the back. It's one of those funny things. We think, oh, it's a spotless sunny day, and of course it's far too bright to actually take pictures of anybody or anything, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then the shadows are a bit too harsh on people's faces, and they fall in a kind of
that people look like vampires. We don't want that. Yeah, we don't want that in The Escapist. So let's talk about a couple of the stories themselves. What am I looking at here? This is a gorgeous one. This is Broome. This is a funny one, right? This is a place no one's ever heard of, which I think is part of the point of The Escapist as well, right? It's sort of to lead people down paths less trodden. This seems kind of typical escapist photography. Talk us through the vibe here that we're trying to create.
Yeah, I mean, again, the beach shot here is this very end of the day, dusky shot. People have just finished work and gone for the evening surf or swim. It's, yeah, a very beachy resort, north coast of Australia. Looks very sunny, looks very hot.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? There is something strange, though, about the photographs that one takes and you flick through, maybe when you come back from a holiday or maybe you come back from an assignment. And, you know, they're not bad, they're okay. But there is something about capturing... It's the light, right? There is something that looks very different.
It can completely change.
Fortunately so, when it's being recreated in a magazine. But presumably there are photographers that have got a knack for the summer and some photographers have got a knack for the winter. Does such a thing exist?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I believe you can make beautiful pictures in most light conditions, but certain people kind of really feel at home in that kind of evening dusky light, and some people like a grey overcast day and they can make really beautiful pictures in that light. But
I think the light doesn't, obviously light is important for taking photos, we all know that, but light itself does something to the subject. So of course once it's sunny people are happier. You know, the ocean is iridescent, you know, shadow has there's higher contrast. Food looks better, drinks look more appetizing. Yeah. Everything kind of comes to life in a way that we all know. On a nice sunny day, just everyone's mood changes. Some photographers, I think Mariano Herrera did a shoot in Turkey here, and he's just very good at using a long lens and just picking up those little moments of what happens at a beach club. And it's the things that you wouldn't kind of pick them out as part of the commissioning brief, but he kind of gets them. And it is the little bits of people putting towels out or a waiter carrying a fresh gin and tonic or, you know, the notepad in his back pocket, people flicking through paperbacks, you know. It's all those little moments that when you recognise them, you're like, that's exactly what it feels like when you're away.
And there's something also in that commissioning, it's the same for us writers, for you guys on the art team as well, it's the details, it's the war against cliche all the time, right? You're trying to find the thing, it's a thought away from the classic image, you know, you've got the swooping shot of the bay, possibly, to put people into context so people know what you're talking about and where you're talking about. But presumably it is that thing of, it's the shot that was taken before and after Marilyn's dress rode up, you know, over the air filter, right? It's that kind of thing.
Well, sometimes we have a phrase in the art department, which is, often we apply it to when we're doing fashion photography, but sometimes I say to the photo team, go through the shots and pick your selects and then go back and pick the non-selects, because it's the non-selects actually, select, you know, I mean the selection of shots that make the edit that we then do the layout from. But it's the non-selects, it's the kind of things, the happy accidents, almost the mistakes that are actually sometimes more realistic and more interesting than the ones where everything's sort of perfect. It's a little bit more realistic, and I think that's what these travel reportage photographers can do very well, is that they can pick the things that not everyone else would pick. Just, you know, we all go to see a landmark or we see an amazing view at the top of a mountain and there's 50 people lined up taking the same iPhone shot, and the photographer will be taking a photograph of person selling ice creams and the dustbin with all the discarded lolly sticks or something, and it's that,
because you're telling a story.
They tell stories, absolutely. It's a more interesting narrative.
We don't need another picture of the Eiffel Tower.
No, I think we've got that.
So I was lucky. I sent myself off to Benidorm, which is, as I said, is the last story in the magazine. It looks great on its gloss paper. Thanks, chaps, for sorting that out.
And the best story in the magazine, let's not forget that. Let's not be modest.
It's a good one. It's the Costa Blanca. It is the town that invented mass tourism. Pedro Zaragoza, who was the mayor of Benidorm in the 60s, the sort of founding mayor of the modern Benidorm in many ways, has an amazing history about him himself. He personally went on a moped the 9 hours from Benidorm to Madrid to the Prado to personally lobby General Franco, who he was obviously slightly terrified of, turned up, covered in engine oil, put a new shirt on, and won over the heart, if not the mind, or maybe the purse strings of Franco, and allowed Benidorm to be the only place in Spain that you could sunbathe in a bikini and later topless and all the rest of it. He was fearing a run-in with the Catholic Church. Anyway, fast forward to the 70s and 80s, and it was the third highest rise city in Europe. I think it still is third or fourth. And it is, in Britain at least, a sort of byword for Brits abroad, tattoos, bad behaviour, drinking at least cold lager, but with English Premier League football on the TV. It's a bit of a gift for a writer. How on earth, Matt, do you pick a photographer to do justice to something that you don't want to be prurient, but you want to be a little bit tender, but you obviously want to show the warts and all of a place like this?
Yeah, and it was quite a tricky commission, actually, to get that perfect photographer, and Thomas is somebody we've worked with once before, and he'd shot a great story for us a couple of issues ago for PBS, and he happened to be in Europe at the time. He's based in New York, and we sort of commissioned him to go down there and shoot this. But he's amazing at shooting architecture, and he's really good at shooting people and capturing the best side of a person, and everything is quite uplifting. And
there's a lot of people here that you might think, you know, I think we were discussing how to do this, and there's a bit of tenderness.
And he's not condescending or disparaging to those people, and I think that's what we wanted. We wanted to kind of capture the humour of it, but without being condescending, I guess.
Yeah, and a bit of warm humour rather than piss take.
Exactly. Yeah. I think he's managed to do that.
Yeah, for the overall kind of vibe of the magazine, you know, we obviously, as editors as well, we want to get a balance of a geographical balance. Not everything can be beaches, despite the fact it's a summer magazine. We need some mountains, we need some hillsides, we need some variation. In terms of the photography and the palette as well, how do you kind of balance that out? Is that something you see as stories come in, or is that something that you kind of plot out beforehand, knowing the kind of balance you want?
It's quite hard to plot out beforehand, but certainly when you get a story, Benidorm's a very good example of it, when you come in and you can see a palette.
Yeah.
So Benidorm is orange, you know? It's orange. It's bright, bright, bright. And it's just packed with colour. And when you see that, it's very easy to pair shots together. I think that story is pretty much a dream for everyone. It was a dream to lay out. I think, we all love the copy, so I'm sure it's a dream to write. And it's a dream commission for Matt. And there were so many photographers we were sort of considering, because it is such a plum brief. It's kind of like you're going to the Wild West. Yeah. It's an architecture study. It's a people study. It's like you're going to be in a war zone, but there's going to be happiness and joy and hilarity. And you're right about the tenderness. We didn't want to be disparaging. And I think both the copy and the pictures, they just show off a celebration. It's a celebration of sun. And yeah, it's not Tuscany, and it's not for everyone, and it's not Airbnb, but it's just, it does celebrate something. And I think it's actually very, very charming.
Chaps, thank you very much for taking time out of upstairs to come downstairs. Time to take the scarves off and head back into the English summer out of Studio 2. Richard Spencer-Powell and Matthew Beaman, thank you very much. Now let's have a chat with good old Thomas Pryor. Tom and I went to Benidorm to look at the trash and the treasure, and the treasure and the trash. We saw sunburn, tattoos, high-rises, crosses of St George, Reebok classics, chips, and a lot of beer being sprayed around. Benidorm invented the idea of cheap and cheerful summer sun for vitamin D-deprived Northern Europeans, and it's a town that grew upwards rather than outwards. The buildings are photogenic, modern, sometimes beautiful, sometimes awful. Benidorm is a town that seems to deny its surroundings. Every aspect is hemmed in more and more concrete. More coloured awnings, more signs flashing beer and girls and fish and chips. As a writer, I found it a gift. But what about Tom? And he joins us on the line from the east coast of the US. Tom, welcome to the programme and great to speak to you again.
Thanks, Rob.
I know you've been there before, but what were your first impressions of Benidorm when you drove into town?
Like you said, I've been there before, so I kind of knew the layout of the town from about 12 years ago when I went. The first impression was completely different than where I was before, which was in the mountains. So I was nice to be by the sea in the sun. Then I just met up with you and we walked straight into the belly of Benidorm, I guess.
Yeah, straight into the belly of the beast, right? I feel like when I'm in kind of work mode, I'm looking at things differently. I'm writing notes. I'm kind of looking at things with a different gaze. I guess you're the same. I mean, when you're thinking of shots, angles, buildings you might like to photograph, a bit of town that might be interesting to explore, et cetera, to tell your story, Tom, can you feel that kind of click in as a photographer?
Well, I think for both, there's a lot of things to broad strokes you could focus on in a place like Benidorm, and one of them is the buildings, and another one is debauchery, and another one is people on the beach, all these different things. And the buildings, at that time of night when I got there, it was about 7 or 6 when we met up, and the light was really nice. So it was the awnings and the different weird oranges and yellow awnings on these buildings and the towels hanging off the balconies that kind of got me first. And, just trying to figure out what to do, make some interesting pictures of buildings. And then the people, I guess the main thing with photographing people is just trying to be sensitive.
Yeah, and you were very concerned about that, weren't you? We had this idea
when we met up is some rough people around here, and there's some rough bits of town, but actually there's a lot of tenderness to it, and a lot, and all your pictures have that tender quality to them, that this is not just taking the mickey out of people. There is something kind of tender and very human and very humane about that. Is that something that you see through the lens and you take the picture that you exactly want to, or is that something that actually you find out after the photograph has been taken?
Well, no, I mean, I thought the vibe was pretty good when I was there. I mean, I've been to some other places in the world where they have a nightlife kind of like Benidorm, and it's been a little much sketchier, or much more violent or antagonistic. And I didn't get any grief from anybody drinking, you know, just walking around with my big dumb tripod, and nobody gave me any problems. I got yelled at a couple of times by some Spanish dudes, didn't want their pictures taken. But I mean, as far as like the nightlife, but you know, then again, I wasn't out until 5 a.m. I went to bed at 2 or whatever, you know. Yeah. So I wasn't out when it was like people were just kind of dragging their way home.
Yeah.
but I mean, like, as far as the beach goes, anytime you're on the beach, you got to be a little bit, you know, I was in full clothes because I'm a city dweller and I'm not, you know, so I don't want to be walking around on the beach in pants and a giant camera and just like picking away at people.
How much of your job, on this job particularly, which was kind of finding interesting things and shooting them rather than having everything sort of arranged for you on a plate, I suppose, Tom, how much of this job was actually charming people, was talking to people, was assuming the attitude of an equal or even an underling, rather than going, I'm a photographer and I'm going to take your picture and I'm in control? There's a little subtle dance you have to do, isn't there, a lot of the time?
I didn't photograph that many portraits because I was kind of like enamored by a bunch of other things, like the signage and you know, I have some selects of my own, some other portraits, but I can't play a role unless, you know, like I was with you a few times when I was talking to like big muscly guys that were drinking at 2 p.m. and then you're like front on them, come on, let's go, come on over here, let me get a picture of you, and it's all in good fun, you know, because they're like, way, you know, having a good time and they don't care. But if you're on the beach and you're talking to, you know, and I don't speak Spanish, and a lot of Spanish people in Benidorm, the older people, they're not trying to learn English from what I could tell on the beach, because I tried a few times when we weren't together and it was like, man, this isn't working out. So, you know, just trying not to be too poachy, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to at least acknowledge people before I take their picture, and unless it's from far away, and then, you know, you're looking more at color and form and all the rest of it. Yeah, I was trying to stick more to the English side and getting the people in the revelry and the funny bathing suits.
There's a tenacity to taking people's photograph, or there is a charm, and there is a relationship that you have to build very quickly with people when you're taking their photograph. But there's also a degree of tenacity in order to get the right shot of the right building you want. And your photographs of the buildings in Benidorm, Tom, are absolutely poetic, you know. And I noticed, I really liked how you did things. It's like, right, let's press all the buzzers on this apartment block and try and get to the top of this apartment so we can get onto the roof so we can take this shot. Let's kind of snick in behind this person into this apartment block so we can get it. I like your style. I like your way of doing things. Is that kind of par for the course, I wonder? I mean, I know that some of your other photographic projects have been pretty risky. I'm thinking of these Mexican dudes and the kind of explosives in the desert right outside Mexico City. These kind of things, these personal projects of yours, put you in the face of quite a bit of danger. There's quite a lot of balls you need to be a photographer. You look at these images and I think, wow, this is poetry. This is beautiful. The man's an artist. But then working with you, there's a lot of stuff that goes on to get that picture. Is that was the Benidorm story sort of par for the course? Was it quite a tame one in terms of getting the shots?
It's pretty tame. I mean, it was not in the aggression or the like tenacity, like you said, but it just in confrontation wise, it was very tame. But you know, had I had more time, you know, after you left, you know, because our trips didn't sync up perfectly, and I had that day to myself, and I ended up in a part of town where I completely forgot about, which is where like all the old clubs are. That I saw years ago, and I was like, you know, I got there at 8 p.m. I was walking around. So it was like, you know, everything was kind of done daylight wise. And I could have spent 2 or 3 more days just roaming around that little part of town. But yeah, that area would have taken a little bit more balls. I just think like the walking around, trying to find the right shot or waiting for the right time of day is kind of par for the course for like these kinds of documentary or travel, anything you're doing where you're not setting stuff up, you kind of have to be you kind of have to go for it, because it's not going to just show up. I mean, we walked a lot and climbed a lot of stairs and poked into a lot of hallways and stuff. Just, yeah, that kind of stuff you have to work for. But, you know, as far as confrontation and all that, nah, it's fine. Pretty easy. It was fun.
Tom, thank you very much indeed. It was such a pleasure working with you. The story looks so handsome on its gloss paper. We got the expo. I told you we'd get the expo. We're on the beach. It's gorgeous. 16 pages of beautiful gloss stuff. Check out Tom Pryor's photographs. They are a work of genius. Tom, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Rob.
To end the show, we're heading to Bucharest, where our writer Chiara Romello went to find out about the creatives and entrepreneurs that are transforming their city. Until a decade ago, Bucharest was a place where ambitious young creatives would often emigrate from, not flock back to. But since then, a motivated generation of entrepreneurs has taken matters into their own hands and started opening restaurants, bars, shops and design firms all around the city's many hidden nooks. As for the art scene, though, Bucharest has always played second fiddle to the Romanian city of Cluj-Napoca. But a brand new series of galleries have made their mark in Bucharest. Opened last June inside a former art supplies factory on the northern fringes of the capital, Sector 1 is the city's newest addition. Chiara spoke to the gallery's Andreea Stanculiano.
The main reason we came here is because we were looking for quite a long time for a space. A space that is as close as possible to, let's say, the perfect white cube, what every single gallery probably dreams of. And when we got here, we found the space that it's is the perfect white cube with a twist. And we love the place. It's a formal industrial area. We are here the third contemporary art gallery, so I guess the courage of the first two comers were actually also part of our being so brave in approaching the space. And it just feels like it's gonna become what we all dream of becoming, which is quite an essential contemporary art area, space here in Bucharest.
Speaking of which, what drives your gallery and the selection that you make? And how does that fit within the current scene in Bucharest, and how do you feel like you fit somewhere in that scene? How do you think it's shaping up?
Our main intention is to have this gallery as almost the ideal space for each artist to come and be able to tell its story. Our first selection is consists of Cluj painters, because we absolutely feel that they need a stronger representation in Bucharest as well. The School of Cluj, it's so well known worldwide, and I feel that it still needs representation here in Bucharest. It's an amazing pool of artists, and we started this road with them. We are just hoping that we are going to be able to just prove how strong they are, and we want to have a very strong curatorial program throughout each year. The first year obviously is going to be the most challenging one, and we hope to surprise. This first show is going to be followed by solo shows of each artist, which everybody expects, but we are looking forward to surprising everybody with events that are not necessarily expected in the way we introduced ourselves to the world.
What kind of surprising event then?
Well, they will be surprising.
Okay, so you don't want to reveal too much. Fine.
We are actually looking at all sorts of other art expressions, from performance to VR art and so on and so forth. But that's going to be, the future topic. So no more answers.
Okay, excellent. You touched on something really interesting and vital there, which is the artists of Cluj have kind of taken a lot of the spotlight for Romania over the past few years, but something is happening in Bucharest too. How do you think the contemporary art scene is shaping up here, as the gallery specifically is brand new, but you must have been observing the scene for a very long time? Do you think it too, like many other creative industries, has had a bit of an emergence period over the past 5 years?
Yeah, absolutely. The emergence period is, I would say, almost everywhere, still in Romania, but definitely in the contemporary art field. I think the Bucharest art scene, it's amazing. It's getting more and more dynamic. I think the artists do become more and more courageous in the way they are expressing their art. I think that this is more than important for Bucharest to become relevant on the international market and get the attention of the lead curators and art advisors and collectors and art dealers and so on and so forth. I think that the same thing is happening in Timișoara and in Iași as well. I still believe, and I'm sorry for being so subjective, that Cluj is leading the way in almost all the areas. But what is happening in Bucharest is very strong, no doubt about it.
So from, I guess, a residence point of view and a more general point of view, not just related to the art scene, how has your experience of living in the city changed over the past 5 years? Have you noticed a change in the way of life? And how would you compare the Bucharest of before to the Bucharest of now?
Well, absolutely, it changed a lot. And probably the last 7-5 years, they were, let's say, the most dramatic in terms of changes. Good dramatic. I mean, fast and amazing. And I presume this is happening because the young generation is not so young anymore. And they are expressing themselves and they are brave and they lack any type of, how should I say, they're not afraid basically of anything, which is fantastic. And you can feel that obviously in art, but you can feel that in the entrepreneurial side of the city as well. You can see young people being involved in young businesses and in music. And Bucharest is a very, 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 it has become such an alive city. There is absolutely no day in which you do not have at least 10 events to choose from. And this is fantastic. And I guess this is how it should be.
Sector 1 in Bucharest is open now, and its inaugural show, The Exquisite Corpse Drinks the New Wine, is on until the end of July. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. The Escapers is on sale now, so be sure to pick up your bright pink copy before your next trip. You've been listening to Culture, where my producer was, of course, Sunshine's own Holly Fisher, and I've been Robert Bound. Join us again at the same time next week. For the time being, thanks for tuning in.